Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com. Probably the best download decision you'll ever make.
Being selected by Jenny Finch and her team for the Book of the Month is quite frankly one of the pinnacles of any writer's ambition. Don't ask me how I know this. I just do.
Hello there. This month's book is Running with Roselle by Michael Hingson with Jeanette Hanscom. Running with Roselle is the young adult version of Michael Hingson's story, told for adults in an earlier novel, Thunder Dog. Roselle, his guide dog, became famous following the attacks on the World Trade Center in 2001, when she guided Hingson and an ever-growing band of terrified people down 78 flights of stairs to safety. Culminating in this amazing feat, the book shows the journey these two exceptional individuals took to reach such a moment. Although born blind, the author was always encouraged by his family to do everything his sighted brother could. When young, he learned to ride a bike around his town, and when at college, he drove a car around the campus. This level of confidence and determination runs through the book and helps to illustrate how he managed to survive.
Roselle waited beside the guide dogs for the blind van as Todd pulled a blindfold from his jacket pocket. A man named Kelly Martin, one of the supervisors from campus, jotted notes down on a clipboard. The big day had come. Roselle was beginning her final tests to become a guide dog. Todd secured the blindfold around his eyes and buttoned his jacket. Roselle shivered a little under a chilly November wind. During each test, Todd would play the role of a blind man, while Kelly followed them and acted as a spotter, noting how well Roselle obeyed commands, guided, and kept Todd out of danger. In her 20 weeks of training at the campus, Roselle had passed every evaluation, and Todd continued to rave about her progress, but that did not make her final tests any less important. If she failed any one of them, she could still be cut from the program. For her first test, Roselle needed to guide Todd through a busy area of downtown San Rafael. Roselle focused intently on her surroundings. They were in the parking lot outside the guide dog's lounge, which meant guiding Todd to the street while also staying aware of cars coming from behind, backing out of parking spaces and turning from one row to another. Roselle perked up her ears, preparing to listen and watch for things that Todd couldn't see and feel for the vibrations of approaching vehicles. "We're ready," Todd told the spotter. "Go for it." Kelly positioned himself behind Todd and Roselle. "Okay, Roselle," Todd gripped the harness. "Forward." Roselle guided Todd along the edges of the parking spaces toward the exits, then waited for him to tell her which way to turn. "Left," Todd said. Roselle took a left turn without hesitation. Men and women hurried up and down the sidewalk. Most of them didn't notice the pretty, unusually well-behaved yellow lab. She guided Todd around a cluster of ladies sipping coffee in front of a shop with delicious smells wafting out of it. One of the ladies smiled at Roselle. Another stared at Todd as he walked blindfolded, but Roselle didn't stop or look back, even as the scents of pastries and muffins filled her nostrils. The purpose of this first test was to check Roselle's ability to guide while surrounded by distractions. Todd was familiar with the area, so he knew where he was going. Roselle's job was to keep him from running into people, trash cans, or other objects, listen for his directions, and get him safely across streets and through areas that might be difficult for someone with very poor vision or no sight at all. They walked on congested sidewalks, went in and out of shops, crossed streets, dodged a mailbox, and strolled through a park. Buses pulled into stops, kids cried, people talking on cell phones swerved around them, and impatient drivers honked their horns, but not once did Roselle lose concentration, get startled, or miss a command. She even kept Todd from hitting a dangling broken tree branch. Before she knew it, they were back in the parking lot and Todd was taking off his blindfold to read the spotter's notes. "You guys did great," Kelly told Todd. "She didn't have any problems at all." Roselle whipped her tail back and forth, gazing up at Todd for approval. "I knew you could do it," Todd cupped her face in his hands. "Just three more to go." Roselle soaked up Todd's praise. "I passed my first test, and it wasn't very hard at all." Next, they took the traffic test. Todd and Kelly drove to a section of town that required crossing several intersections. Rassel not only needed to stop at each curb and recognize when it was safe to cross, but Kelly would also check her ability to hold Todd back from danger. Todd pushed the button for the walk signal, while Rassel watched the cars whizzing past her. When the vehicles traveling parallel to them had the right of way, Rassel knew it was their turn to cross. Before stepping off the curb, she paused to listen for cars that might sneak up on them from around the corner. She didn't hear or see any, so she led Todd off the curb and across the street, careful to avoid colliding with people crossing from the other side.
Mike had a guide dog from an early age, and the novel gives a rare insight into all the work and training that goes into preparing both the dog and the new handler. This is a fascinating read and is told from several points of view, including that of the dog. There are some points where there is perhaps a little too much anthropomorphic internal dialogue for the dog, though it does make their actions and responses clear for a younger audience. Certainly, the chapters devoted to Mike's guide dogs in training are fun to read and give a sense of how stressful and complex the process might be for all concerned. Mike's journey is equally interesting, with an idea of how lacking much of the education system was when he was young. Faced with a choice between the potluck of a mainstream school and a specialist school for the blind, Mike chose the more difficult option. Then, as now, many specialist schools had lower expectations for their students, and this is compounded for blind students by the lack of books and texts in Braille. Modern computers with text reading were unheard of, and students relied on volunteers to read for them. Both Mike and Rosel were exceptional in their own ways, and the pairing of the two of them could have gone very wrong. In fact, it works beyond anyone's expectations.
Rosel, 1999. Rosel walked at Dave's side down a long hallway toward the trainer's office. She could still smell the citrusy scent of shampoo on her coat from her trip to the grooming room. She'd received baths since arriving on campus, but this one felt special. The volunteers took extra care as they washed her in one of the giant tubs, moved her to a drying area that blew warm air, brushed her, and clipped and filed her nails, making her extra beautiful for dog day. Rosel strutted past one of the other trainers and a new Golden Lab Retriever mix guide dog in training. Dave stopped in front of his office door. Rosel could sense the presence of someone new, someone just as excited as she was. My person is in that room. Dave opened the door. A big man with greying strawberry blonde hair sat very still in the chair across the room. Rosel stopped. The man looked familiar. Where had she seen him before? Mike, meet Rosel. Mike, I like that name. Rosel studied Mike more closely. His hands rested on his knees, his fingers twitching like he wanted very badly to reach out, but needed to stay still. He was nervous. She could feel the tension in his body from across the room, but he also seemed to know what to expect. He seemed confident. Then Rosel remembered. Yesterday, Mike was the man I saw talking on the bench. She walked right over and sniffed Mike's hands, then his pants and shirt. He smelled like a nice man. Mike remained still until the trainer gave him the go-ahead to move, then he immediately reached for Rosel and gently stroked her head and face. She looked up at him. He smiled. Hello, Rosel. His voice was strong. She gave him her sweetest doggy smile. Hello, Mike. Well, he rubbed her ears and patted her back. I think I found a friend. I think I did too. He had a friendly, intelligent face. He looked like a man who would take her for a lot of exciting adventures. Rosel definitely has the on-off switch you asked for, Mike, Dave said. She looked at Mike, then at the trainer. What is an on-off switch? No one had mentioned her having one before. When Rosel is working, she's all business, but when that harness comes off, she'll run and play and steal your socks like any ordinary dog. According to her puppy raisers, you might want to keep your slippers under lock and key. Mike cupped Rosel's face in his hands. So you're a thief, huh? It had been months since Rosel stole Kay's slippers. She never considered stealing socks, but now that Dave mentioned it, those might be even better. Socks will be a lot easier to hide in my mouth while sneaking down the hall.
Mike and Roselle were in an office on the 78th floor when the second plane hit the Twin Towers and were faced with a nightmare journey down to the ground. Despite the growing chaos of panicking people, the smoke and fumes, and intermittent power failures, Roselle calmly led Mike, his friend, and an increasing number of frightened and desperate workers down the stairs. Partway down, they encountered the fireman running up to tackle the blaze, and one stops to fuss the dog. Mike allows this for the first and only time. A poignant moment, as almost certainly the man didn't survive. News of Roselle's feat soon reached the media, and she became an instant hero. The story spread around the world, a rare piece of good news in such a grim time. Over the next few years, she was awarded a host of medals for her courage, including the Dickin Medal and the AKA Canine Excellence Award. She became even more famous through her own page on Facebook, and Mike Hingson set up a foundation in her name to support and educate blind children and adults. He also now travels the world as a lecturer and motivational speaker. This is both an inspirational story and a valuable book, showing how it is possible to achieve exceptional things despite adversity. In showing how an almost symbiotic bond between human and animal enhances both, it can act as a beacon of hope in what is seen to be an increasingly hostile and indifferent world. Although it is written with a young adult audience in mind, it contains a wealth of ideas and information, making it a good and easy read for a wide audience. I enjoyed this book very much, and if you are new to this story, I hope you will too.
There are Jenny's thoughts on a fine and inspirational text. It was November 2023 when Michael Hingson made his debut as far as Midweek Drive and indeed Southside Broadcasting was concerned. And Jessica Burtis was with us then. We felt at that stage, Jenny, that actually it was such an inspirational thing. And I'd read the book at that stage. I had to put it forward for this purely and simply because, as you said, it's one of those areas which is a relatively easy read, but it is so poignant insofar as how many aspects come together. One of the things that Michael raised with me, which I was never aware of, is that he prefers the term blind rather than visually impaired. And he argues very much that that is a key point. And he does an awful lot of work, as indeed he alludes to in the book, with his wife, with his partner, in terms of getting people to rethink differently abled individuals. And I think that's such an important message to come across. Apart from the awesome story, which I have to say I was unaware of, there were so many stories, obviously, from 9/11 and so on. But this was a story which, when I did one's research, phenomenal, really, phenomenal. But I take it you liked it, Jenny.
I liked it very much indeed. I thought it was very well written. It does cover a very wide audience. And yeah, sometimes they maybe attribute a lot of quite deep technical thoughts to the dog, but the things that the dog has to do are quite extraordinary. I'm very well aware that these are normally Labradors or German Shepherd dogs that they use. I mean, somebody once said Tibetan Spaniels are really intelligent and so are Tibetan Terriers. And I look at the dogs we've had and go, yes, they are. And if you really hack them off one day, they're just going to abandon you on a zebra crossing because they feel like it. Whereas a lab never would. They've got a sense of loyalty, which is quite extraordinary. And I think Roselle is a remarkable role model for any animal or any human.
It's the second anthropomorphized book we've looked at, because Peter Kerr obviously had one when he was talking about his collie dog back in the day, basically. So again, I think it was interesting. Let's bring our guest and indeed newbie to Book of the Month. That's Anna Teodora Coscanel. Anna, I'm not sure whether you had a chance to even have a look at this book as yet, but from what you've actually heard, is it one that you're going to put on your list of texts you will be looking at?
Oh, well, you're right. I did not have a time to look, but yes, I most surely will because one on 9/11, it's my birthday. I was born in 2001, and we actually had some family that were in America at that point. And I remember, remember my mom told me lots of stories. But talking about the book, it seems really good put together, well put together. And when you said that it's quite easy to read, I think that's a good thing. But I also think that when people hear that the book is easy to read, they tend to lose focus because they think it's going to be everything, I don't know, easy, as you said. And they just go through it and they don't actually stop and think about what they're reading. But yes, I think I will most definitely read it, especially if it has animals, because I do think that animals sometimes are more loyal than people, and a relationship between a person and its animal, in this case a dog, is always special. And I've had my special best friend when I was little.
Jenny, savoring the word as opposed to rushing through it as an author, as a writer, as a crime writer yourself, is that something that you appreciate, or is it a case of when you hear the words, oh, it's an easy read, you just flip through it and you almost ignore what's being said?
I might have done when I was younger, but there are some books that I read just for the beauty of their language. And although I might know the story and I've read them sometimes half a dozen times before, Brideshead Revisited, for example, I will read just for the language. And the nice thing about this is this language has a rhythm, and it's something that a lot of writers ignore. I try and keep a rhythm in what I write because if I have to read from it, it helps me, because I'm dyslexic, it helps me to keep myself focused and to be able to read from it. I find it very difficult to read from the page, and I really appreciate that. I'm always very aware of that. It's not poetic the way someone like Ray Bradbury is, but it is well written, and I get very impatient if things are not well written, to be honest. I'm much more likely to junk them.
Anna, we know that you're a postgraduate student at the University of Lincoln. You're doing a business master's from that point of view. You're also, I think, a bit of a voracious reader. So, who are your favourite authors?
Oh, I read quite a lot of things, and they differ in the genre, but I think since I was, I think, 12 when I first read, it's going to always be Jane Austen for me. Her stories will always make me feel like I am part of that world, and will just transfer me there, and I will always forget about everything that's going on. And I think they still apply to this day, the messages that you find in them, even if you read a romance book, or even if you read something different, you can still find, each time you reread that old book, you can still find messages that apply to this day.
Well, Jenny, I hadn't anticipated a citizen from Bucharest actually being a Jane Austen fan. Obviously, it is a thing almost accepted as a universal truth. No, I won't even paraphrase the opening to that particular side of things. Okay, I think Anna's pretty much going to be joining us as part of the team. So for next month's Book of the Month, would you? Well, actually, no, we haven't even done the scores as yet. Jenny, what would your score be for Michael Hinkson's little number in terms of running with Rassel?
It's a cracking story. It's well written. I can forgive the slightly too much of the dog thinking. I'm going to give it a 9.
I'll also go 9. I think again it's worthwhile because in the excerpts that we actually popped in, I did feel there were some nice points from Rassel, especially the what's an on switch? You know, what is this strange thing called an on switch? Which is great. And also I think that the descriptors of the chaos of modern life, and
Yes.
also the horrendous experience of 9/11 in all sorts of ways. I thought that was just really well argued. I mean, I'd almost got the book thinking there'd be more of that. Obviously, there are other texts that he's written with respect to that, and again, it certainly deserves the adjective inspiring. in terms of the actual thing, or inspirational perhaps in terms of that. We won't ask you for a score as yet, Anna, until you've actually read it, so maybe we'll come through that. I'll go for 9. So Jenny, before we go and hear from Jessica Burtis and her thoughts on this particular text, what are we going to look for next time around? I gather it's a bit of Welsh Celtic background with a little bit of Marie Powell, who I think has actually been interviewed by Anna as well on a previous Midweek Drive Live.
Oh, there you go. Yes, it is Marie Powell, and it's book one of Last of the Gifted.
So let's find out now what Jessica Burtis makes of the novel, or indeed the adventure or the biography of Running with Rossell. Jessica, of course, you recall we featured the interviewer Mike Hick, or we interviewed the writer Mike Higson a wee while back, I think back in November. Did the
Yes.
book live up to your expectations?
Yes, it exceeded my expectations. I didn't realize at first that it was, until I was reading it, that it was intended more for a younger audience, whereas Thunderdog was more for a general audience. And I thought that made it so interesting with the dual perspective of Rossell and of Mike growing up. I thought that was so interesting. It was very, I'm someone who, I don't really like reading from an animal perspective sometimes, honestly. I think as a kid I really enjoyed it, and I guess now I don't tend to as much, but this humbled me because it made me remember why having an animal perspective is so useful and so nice, especially in books for younger audiences, and just how much I enjoyed hearing about the process of a guide dog becoming a guide dog in their training through the eyes of little Rossell. And how that paralleled Mike growing up. So I really enjoyed it. It was very, it's kind of, I don't use the term unputdownable a lot because I tend to get distracted easy, but it truly is the kind of book that you can read really fast. Not because it's necessarily easy, but because it's so immersive.
And did you have any favorite characters, or is it possible to choose between Rossell or Mike, or is it both?
You can't choose between them. I feel like it's one of those kinds where I don't know, I thought it was just going to be Mike's perspective in a bag, but then you put in Rossell and you really can't just choose one because they complement each other so well.
As we said when we were talking with Jenny earlier, I think it's very impressive the way in which Mike does actually deal with his blindness and that can-do attitude. I think is so significant because sometimes we do tend to make judgments about other individuals that we see without kind of really thinking about the process and so on.
No, yeah, definitely. I think that just the, where he was saying that the doctors told his parents that he wouldn't be able to do much of anything, and to kind of just push him aside. The fact that, people are treated that way, because of a disability or just anything that's a bit different about them, is just, insane. So hearing how much he accomplishes and does, and how much he cares for teaching about blindness and about disabilities is, I think it's part of the core of it that this is a book for a child, that can read and see. It's a point of access for a child to really read the perspective of someone who is blind, who maybe they've never read the perspective of before. And it gave me a greater, my grandmother was blind in one eye, so it gave me a better appreciation for all that she did. She owned a fabric store and raised her kids and drove a car and, things that people might say that she wouldn't have been able to do. So it's a very inspiring story to hear. And also it's just, I don't know, it's just very sweet, the story. It's a coming of age story too. So I thought that was just really nice to hear his perspective now that we've met him and talked with him to hear a bit more about his life.
And what would your score out of 10 be?
I can't, it's 10 paw prints out of 10 paw prints. I thought it was great, and I want to get a physical copy instead of just having the digital access book. So it's very fantastic. I really do recommend it. Even if somebody's like, oh, it's a child, it's more for children, it has a dog's perspective. No, definitely read it. It's very, very worth it and very rewarding and surprising in the best ways.